I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Our guest this hour is a retired teacher, and she has taught in so many settings, which makes the book that she has written even broader than what you might think. Ellen Ferenz is a former social studies teacher. She has taught in residential treatment centers, public and private schools, a correctional facility, a technical college, where she worked with students who were completing their high school diploma. She served on a local school board, and she has a son as well who just graduated from college. The book that she wrote is particularly for young girls, and it is titled Be Your Own BFF, Your Personal Guide to Becoming a Strong, Independent Young Woman. She says she hopes girls who read it will feel loved, stronger, recommitted to the importance of school, and better able to delay sexual encounters until after earning a high school diploma. It appeals to a sense of self, to responsibility, also social justice and civic engagement. And there are also some lovely letters that are written from older women that separate each chapter to the young girls from the perspective of having lived a while and really what advice would you offer. Ellen, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, Kathleen. Our pleasure. Our phone number, by the way, I forgot to say, is 800-486-8655. And the email is talk@wpr.org. Facebook page is The Kathleen Dunn Show. And we are also on Twitter, and that's @KDunnShow. So why did you find, and you've worked in so many settings with some kids who probably have not had the best of home circumstances.
Right.
Why did you center it on girls? Is it tougher to be a young woman than it is to be a young man in our society?
Well, personally, I think so. And as a mother of a son, I think sons are probably easier to raise, even though I've never had a daughter or been blessed with one. But girls are the ones who carry the baby. So I think they have a little bit different, you know, their position's a little bit different. And they have their responsibility, I think, is a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I focused on them. Plus, I just think our girls have great potential. They're just, most of the girls I've worked with are just wonderful people. And over the years, one of the reasons I wrote this book, like for the past 15 years, I was teaching social studies at Gateway Technical College in Racine. And the students that I met so often just came from such difficult circumstances. And one of the reasons I wrote this book is because I wanted to give voice to their struggle. I mean, the circumstances that they came from should never be considered normal. And I'm hoping that if, you know, younger, you know, girls than they are would read my book, they could realize that they could have a different adult life. They really could. And so, again, you know, as I retired, I really wanted to make a contribution in some sort. And so the book is what I decided to do. And basically, I think girls, if I was trying to think about this with them, like, more intellectually, like appealing, again, to their sense of self-responsibility. You know, I'm not going to tell them what to do, but they have to decide. They have to look and observe around them, see what's going on. And as a young girl and as a future woman, they have a lot to observe and they have a lot to think about, and they've got to make some heavy-duty decisions so that they can live their best possible life.
Mm-hmm. I know you're a big believer, and you've taught for a long time, mm-hmm. but there's a big focus in the book on education,
mm-hmm.
and making sure that you do your work, that you
right.
show up for school, that
right.
you're there, and that you're engaged in school. And
exactly.
it may sound like something we hear over and over, mm-hmm. but it makes a huge difference how you apply yourself in school as to what will happen with you.
Exactly. And in my mind, I mean, there's many different kinds of schools out there nowadays, and to me, it's all about the program. Again, if a young person comes from a relatively stable set of circumstances, they're probably going to do fine, especially if they believe school is important. However, students that come from circumstances that are more challenging, maybe less stable, all the more need to be in a strong program that has high expectations, high standards, and requires them to do what is asked of them. Nowadays, there's just so many different things going on out there. I just think that girls especially, they have to, boys too, but you have to do well in school these days. You just have to. And personally, I think it's really sort of easy. I mean, basically, students need to be placed properly. I cannot tell you how many classes I've taught where students are years behind Or they're
really?
Not, oh, absolutely. Or they can't, my, you know, classic line is they can't even write in complete sentences. How can you do upper end high school work effectively? And then if if teachers make adjustments where maybe they have to do less writing because I don't have the resources to help them develop enough, or they don't take the initiative on them on their own to get, maybe tutoring services that are available or what have you, then I feel like I've seen students gain like a false sense of accomplishment. Mm-hmm. And then they go on and they're probably going to have more frustration. So getting back to, the book here, if nowadays if girls don't do well in school, consequences are disastrous. Mm-hmm. If I've had many female students who are young mothers.
And some as young as 12, you wrote.
Absolutely.
12.
Absolutely.
Whew.
And I can't begin to tell you how tough life is for them. And again, I think if we would talk about it earlier, like say in middle school, and have a very frank discussion about it, like I try to do in my book, say 7th, 8th, 9th grade, depending upon the background of the girl, I think they can really come to the realization that, no, it's not in my best interest to do these things. Mm-hmm. Especially, I have a chapter in the book called The S Word, and we talk about sex and some other things, which I just basically call other things. And number one, in my mind, having sex is an adult activity. It's not a child activity. It's not an adolescent activity because the consequences there could be consequences that require the knowledge and judgment of an adult. Mm-hmm. And I think younger kids or girls can really come to see that. And they could, come to understand that fully and understand that that could be a great detriment to what they want to do someday. Mm-hmm. Just like by the time a child or a young girl turns 18 and decides to, go on to college or to get post, high school training of some sort, she's got to figure out in her mind what it is she wants to do with her life. And again, no one should tell her what to do because that's her decision. It's her life. And again, that is a huge responsibility, and hopefully there's nothing standing in her way so that she's able to go off and live the life that she'd like to live.
Yeah. Let's talk about American culture for a moment, because you were very direct with the chapter on sex, mm-hmm. adult behavior. Mm-hmm. I like the way you put all of that. It made a lot of sense. But there are a lot of things working in this culture.
Mm-hmm.
The internet, and I've had that mm-hmm. in our family where stuff on the internet has, you found your child, you didn't even know this stuff existed.
Mm-hmm.
Or what we see on television all the time. There's just a lot of junk out there
mm-hmm.
that's
mm-hmm.
very sexual, that's not mm-hmm. very kind, that certainly isn't contributing to the welfare of the society.
Right.
I just being a prude here and an old fogey, or is it worse than when I was a kid?
Oh, I think it is, and I agree with you 100%, Kathleen. And a friend of mine who's a psychologist, she's always said that in order to be an effective parent, you have to be at war with this culture in many ways. There's so many things out there that are not just, they're not good for kids. They're not good for adolescents, and they're not good for adults either. And again, all the more reason that we have to talk with girls about this, help them realize what's in their best interest, what isn't in their best interest, help them to realize that they can take charge, they can be in control, and that they can voice their opinion and do, make better decisions so that they don't get sidetracked along the way.
Mm-hmm.
But I couldn't agree with you more.
You talk about how important it is to have a plan for your life.
Mm-hmm.
At what age can you start doing that? And is it okay to sort of sidetrack and follow what you feel passionate about and take many different directions? Or do you think that young people really need to start making plans when they're very young?
Well, it probably depends upon the child. However, I can remember my son being 6 years old and telling me he wanted to wake up early and go over his spelling words.
Oh, to have a child like that, Ellen.
I know.
My goodness.
I was laughing to myself. I know, what a great little guy you are.
Really? I'll bet.
But I think it's possible. Not that they have to have such develop a narrow focus at a young age. I think they can be open. But you think about it. Every young person is They're surrounded by different individuals. They go to school every day. They, you know, go shopping. They are out and about in other aspects of society. They see people doing all different kinds of jobs. They see people behaving and interacting in all different kinds of ways. They can begin to think about, you know, what interests me. What do I see myself doing? They can start thinking about that at a very young age, I think. And again, as they get older, and again, good parents will help their young people or their young kids get involved in activities that interest mm-hmm. them so that they can develop more skills, develop more interests. Where I talk about this kind of begins to form the foundation of their identity. And we all know, as older adults, we all know people who worked throughout jobs that they really didn't feel good about, or they just did it to earn money. Perhaps if young people spent more time thinking about this and exploring things, you know, having a job you love is just the most wonderful thing there is. I'm sure you know that, Kathy.
Yeah, absolutely. You have to do it for a long time.
Right, right.
It's very, very important to
exactly.
do something that engages you.
You know.
But just sidetracking for a moment, how in the world did you get your 6-year-old son to be the kind of person who woke up before he had to check his spelling words? I mean, seriously, give us parental advice here.
I'm not really sure, to be honest with you. I just thought it was, I can still remember, and it was just the cutest thing. But well, we just went over them, and, you know, he always got a good night's sleep. And, he, you know, when kids are really little, they want to do well in school. Mm-hmm. They really, really do. And then, you know, along the way, they seem to lose track. And, again, for girls to stay engaged, to do well, to join activities that interest them, and to have relationships, make friends, and especially to have a great deal of fun.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that's a formula for having a better life as time moves forward.
You spend quite a bit of the book talking about friendship, which is also a very mm-hmm. important thing in life. And mm-hmm. when maybe the friends you've had, you move to another school and mm-hmm. you're on the out, you don't have mm-hmm. friends. Mm-hmm. Or when your friends have changed and you don't feel comfortable with
right.
their overt sexuality or mm-hmm. something of that
mm-hmm.
nature.
I know, that's very difficult. I have to tell you, though, I have great faith in young people these days. I really do. What gives me the most hope for the future probably is the millennial generation. I've seen young people be really kind to others.
Hmm.
I've seen young people, you know, maybe with the guidance of the teacher, to bring the new student in, make sure they have somebody to sit next to at lunch, making sure they have someone to, you know, hang out with at, you know, during, you know, when they have some off time, in between classes, or during recess time or whatever. I know those are difficult transitions, but I think it can be done. I really do.
Mm-hmm.
So many of the students I've had, even though they've come from such difficult circumstances, I found them to be oftentimes very tolerant, very open-minded, and had a lot of empathy for others.
There's an important thing to know mm-hmm. in your life as well,
mm-hmm.
empathy, isn't it?
Right, absolutely. I know a young girl right now, she's a freshman in high school. She is attending a high school. She went where she didn't know one person, and she was sitting at lunch with a group of girls at a table, and she noticed another girl sitting at another table that was all by herself, and there was no more room at her table. So she got up and went and sat with her. I thought, what a wonderful
mm-hmm.
kid. What a great kid.
Yeah.
And I think more and more of that is happening. I can remember the school that our son went to for high school. I would ask him, you know, is there any bullying going on? You know, what's, you know, I was always
I'm sure
driving or looking around.
Yeah.
And I remember he said to me, he said, "Mom, no." He said, "It's like everyone's popular." I thought, wow, that's great. Mm. I mean, we can cultivate cultures of kindness. Mm-hmm. There are great places out there. There really are. And more of that could be duplicated.
Mm-hmm.
And especially with the appropriate adult involvement, it can, and with peers, that can absolutely take
mm-hmm.
place.
Well, let's talk about bullying, because everything isn't perfect in a lot
uh-huh.
of schools, and you write about bullying,
yes,
saying
yes.
that adults need to know about it.
Uh-huh. And because, let me tell you, I've worked with plenty of adults that I would say fall into the category of bullying themselves.
Right.
Yes, it's very, very challenging. Again, people need to speak up. It should not be a secret, ever. Kids need to tell their peers, their friends, who maybe are a little bit stronger than them, that can help them get through this. They need to tell their parents. or they need to tell a trusted teacher, someone that's important to them that they feel they can be can trust. It should not be kept quiet. Mm-hmm. Absolutely should not be kept quiet.
Have you seen a lot of it in your many years of teaching?
Not a lot. No. I have seen it, but not a lot. I have seen it, though. And I do think it's again, it probably depends totally upon the environment. I can't say I've seen a lot of it, but I know it does happen. Mm-hmm. And I know there's parents, I know I've talked to parents like when I was on the school board that, you know, were frustrated that they weren't getting the results that they wanted. And, you know, that's a very difficult situation to deal with. And,
mm-hmm.
You know, we still have a ways to go with that, I believe. But I think, generally speaking, it is getting better.
There's some interesting, remind me to get to the letters, because I thought that was a really nice thing to include in the book.
Mm-hmm.
But we all go through times in life, and sometimes it's really hard to be disappointed, to do the best you're going to do,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
work very hard and not get into the school you want, or not
mm-hmm.
make the football team,
right.
or not get the job that you want
mm-hmm.
in life and have to have another plan. You write about Plan B and
mm-hmm.
Plan C, but that's a hard thing to learn. How do you learn to realize that life isn't going to be terrific all the
mm-hmm.
time?
I think just through experience. It is a tough thing to learn. But again, think about it. You know, as an adult who's, you know, older now, looking back, think of all the times we probably have failed. I mean, it's been probably way more often than we probably care to admit. And again, the most important thing is trying. That's the most important thing. And nowadays, things are so competitive. I can think of, I know a couple of young men that I write about in the book who graduated from high school, had dynamite grades, went to college, again, had excellent grades, and maybe even played a sport at the same time, and didn't get into the professional school that they wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
And then tried again and still didn't get in. And these are people that maybe had a 3.9 grade point average. Things are extremely competitive. So, again, we have to keep trying. We have to, I think in 2015, we have to have more than one plan. I think we have to be able to regroup, reformulate a goal, because that's just the way it is in this day and age. There's a great deal of competition.
Yeah.
But it will be okay. It will be, as long as people hang in there and keep trying, it will be all right. That to me, that's the main issue.
How do you know it will be all right?
Well, you have to just keep. You have to keep at it. You have to keep at it, and you have to, you know, talk to those people around you, gain their support, and, you know, see where it is you can do something different or take an entirely different path.
Right.
You have to.
Yeah.
That's really the only choice that there is.
Yeah, you do, don't you? You have to think about what else I could do.
Right.
So where did you get the idea, and it's a really lovely idea, to have older women mm-hmm. write letters to mm-hmm. this generation of young women you'd like to have reading the book?
Well, you know, I think I was just talking with a friend one day, and it just sort of came to me that a letter would be neat after each chapter. And ironically, from 1989 to 1991, I taught at St. Mary's Academy here in Milwaukee, which then closed. And I was there while it closed, which was really something. And actually, seven people from the book five students that are letter writers in the book, all were students of mine from St. Mary's.
Oh, interesting.
Teresa Freund, who was my editor, she was one of my colleagues. She was an English teacher there. Joyce Cupertino was also an English teacher there. She wrote the letter for that goes with the American Dream chapter. And then, like I said, five students wrote letters. And that was just a neat, really neat thing to have them do.
Mm-hmm.
I think one of them, I gave one of my friends, Margaret Heppner, we were talking about it, and I think she might have helped me, and she was on Facebook and put some feelers out to us, the alum she keeps in touch with, and then people responded. And then some of my close women friends, I asked them, and they responded, and then I didn't even ask them to focus on something specific for the most part, and then their letters just fit with the various chapters.
Hmm. We were interviewing Marilyn Robinson, who did this interview, this conversation with President Obama. He asked to speak with her yesterday.
Oh, yes, yes.
And I hadn't read a lot of her books, but I became very immersed in Marilyn Robinson, and she's so smart. Oh, my gosh, she's so smart. She knows mm-hmm. so much. But part of what one of her books starts with a letter that minister is writing to his, he has a very young son when he's quite old, and he's dying, and so he writes to his son about his life, hoping that he will be guided by it because he won't be able to be physically there. But it reminded me when I was reading these letters, what a nice thing to do, for adults to do too. I hope this for your life, this is what I've learned from my life, to have something physically in your hand that can, you can refer to and that can guide you.
Well, that was what was so neat about teaching in an all-female environment, to cultivate that support and just that camaraderie amongst females. And that's what I kind of, that's one of the purposes of my book too. I hope we need to take care of our girls, and if girls could kind of get this feeling that they're all watching out for me or they're all rooting for me, that would be just wonderful. Especially because I just think, you know, one of the chapters I talk about, again, with now with the internet and Facebook and cell phones and whatnot, kids are plugged in all the time.
Oh, I know, Ellen. It's unbelievable.
It is unbelievable. It's completely unbelievable. Of course, you're talking to someone who still owns a track phone. But
really?
Yes. You know, and it works for me. But anyway, yeah, girls need to put down the phone, and they need to nurture that relationship with themselves. And I just think that's so important. It's a constant distraction away from who they are and who they're meant to be. A little bit is fine. And actually, I mean, of course, I would never say, I mean, the internet and cell phones are fabulous. I don't even know if tool's the right word anymore because they're such a part of our lives.
Right.
It's fabulous. But at the same time, it can't take away from who you are and becoming an authentic person. And I just feel that I have seen it so often where the cell phone is has become like a person's heart. And it's a tremendous, in that sense, to me, it's a tremendous detriment. And I think, again, those are things that we need to talk about. Those are things that girls need to really think about. And there's times when, you know, it just has to be put down, and you know, homework has to get done, or you know, conversations without a phone need to take place, or reading needs to happen, and there's, you know, exercise, being involved in any number of activities where that cell phone just is not a part of it.
Yeah. Well, let's welcome phone calls. Our guest this hour is the author of Be Your Own BFF, Your Personal Guide to Becoming a Strong, Independent Young Woman. Ellen Ferenc is with us, and Ellen's background is really interesting. She's recently retired as a social studies teacher, but she's taught in so many different places. So she's been with kids who probably don't have a whole lot of support at home. She's worked in residential treatment center, public, private schools, a correctional facility, and also at a technical college where she was working with students who were getting their GEDs. The book is a guide in so many areas for how to become a strong, independent young woman. A lot of questions for you, the audience. Do you think that it's harder these days? Do you think that How can you become, and some of you may have your own life stories you'd like to share, a strong woman if you don't have a home life that's nurturing, that's very supportive? How do you raise young women to be strong and confident and contributing members to society? How do you deal with friendship or not getting the friend that you want? How do you deal with bullying? How do you get school to be incredibly important? How do you get young girls to think of sex as an adult behavior? How can you spend time by yourself? How do you live consciously? We've yet to talk about civic engagement, and Ellen spends a good chapter talking about all of that, which is something certainly I learned when I was in high school.
Yes.
Okay, Ellen did too. I think it's an important thing. Here's how you reach us. We would love to hear from you. 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. Our email is talk@wpr.org. The Facebook page is The Kathleen Dunn Show, and we're on Twitter as well, and that's @KDunnShow. You are listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. All right, we have a lot of phone calls coming in for Ellen, so let's begin, Ellen, with David in Tomahawk. Hi, David.
Yes, good afternoon, ladies.
Hi, David.
Hi, David.
Hi, Ellen. I agree with you about the millennials. I think there are some really kind and respectful young adults that we're raising in our communities.
Very good. I completely agree with you.
And one of the other things that I want to say is, as a male, I have two teenage daughters, and when they're 18 and 19 now, but mm-hmm. when they were being raised, and even now, I always try to avoid complimenting them on their physical appearance,
mm-hmm.
and instead would compliment them on their kindness mm-hmm. and their mm-hmm. compassion for others and their empathy for others.
Wow. Good for you. You sound like an evolved guy.
Yeah.
Very good. Very
I hear
good.
That a lot. An evolved guy, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So how are they going to make their mark on the world? Have they thought about it, David?
Well, one of my daughters, she wants to be a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, I told her, I said, you know, I said, you're the type of young woman. I said, if you decide to go into teaching, you'll be a phenomenal teacher. And I said, I bet that when you're 65 and 70 years old, you'll still have students getting a hold of you and saying you were the best thing that ever happened in my life.
Aww, what a nice thing to say. Let me just say this to you. I think fathers are so important. I really do. I think society has yet to realize that. Maybe, too, the next generation will. I mean, everybody knows how important mothers are. But fathers, I just think, are tremendous and so, so important. So good for you. Keep it up.
That's great. So nice to hear from you, David. Thank you very much for the call. What is it about millennials? Is there something about you? Both of you have mentioned millennials.
Mm-hmm.
Why this generation? What's happening and making them, you know, kind and good and civically involved?
Hmm. Well, I'm not sure. Maybe because there's been so many controversial issues that have been on the forefront lately. That might be. Mm-hmm. Especially with regard to gay rights.
Yes.
I think that might have a lot to do with it,
mm-hmm.
you know, and
mm-hmm.
especially as in terms of what's going on, you know, in the political landscape, lots of young people have been very involved. And now we have 24/7 news cycles. I think young people are just taking the time to be more involved, and maybe that's making the difference.
Yeah. What about this? Is it still, young girls are still, many of them feel compelled to have, I know this was true when I was growing up, you know, you had to have the right kind of clothes,
mm-hmm.
and we never had the money to get exactly the right things. So you
mm-hmm.
get a knockoff somewhere, you got to have a certain look about you.
Mm-hmm.
Are looks still crucial to the young girls you've worked with, many of them, or not?
Yes, I'd say so.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say so. Again, I think you have different pockets of different things going on. And again, I think some groups can be very accepting of others, that are very different from them. On the other hand, you might have groups that are very judgmental. However, again, I think everything and anything is out there now. And also, you know, we see, you know, more girls getting involved with sports, getting involved with various activities where they take leadership roles or they're volunteering. And so maybe they're broadening their horizons more to where there can be, you know, less focus on appearance and, you know, what I would call some kind of, you know, outdated ideas
mm-hmm.
of importance.
Mm-hmm. I really like the last part of the book, too, where you talk about the importance of civic engagement.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll bet you teach that in your classroom
mm-hmm.
all the time. You've got to vote.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to be a functioning member of this
mm-hmm.
democracy. It
mm-hmm.
gives you a sense of purpose,
exactly,
too.
Exactly. You know, plus that's civic engagement, or that's part of, that's civic responsibility. I mean, I can remember being a really young girl, and my parents always voted. Always,
mm-hmm.
always, always. They never did not vote.
Mm-hmm.
Always. And I remember they took pride in it. It's like they were going to church. And in the last, you know, few years when I was teaching, and whenever there was an election time that was coming up, I always asked people, you know, we always had a little mock election in class or whatever.
And, I used to love those. Oh, I love those.
We always did that.
Right.
But again, asking them, you know, how many of you are your parents voting? You know, the amount of people that would tell me they're not voting. Or, again, it follows then that their children are going to be less likely to vote.
Right.
Or how many of you know somebody that never votes? And, again, sometimes half the hands in the class would go up. And, you know, the level of disengagement that I've also seen, you know, whether it's, you know, if it's happening in the classroom, it's probably going to be happening at the
sure.
at the voter, at the ballot box as well. And, you know, people need to get involved. That's why I think, like, the work you do is just so important. I mean, this is like, your show is like social studies in action every single day.
Or use that for promo. Yeah. Like, social studies in action every day.
Or it's like
on Wisconsin Public Radio.
Critical, you know, it's critical thinking.
I know,
where we're talking
right
about what's going on out there.
I know.
And so many people just don't seem to care. Or again, if you look at the level of busyness, the level of, you know, what people, you know, choose to do. I mean, because everybody's in charge. You know, everybody's making their own decisions. But wow, to me, it's just mind blowing.
I know. I'm with you.
I
don't know what everybody's doing all day.
I don't know either.
Voting, how can you be too busy to vote?
I know exactly.
Yeah.
Or just to know what's happening. There's so many publications out there that have the issues. Now you have the internet. You can Google somebody and find out the pros, the cons. You can find different sources. There's absolutely no excuse. Mm-hmm. There's no excuse.
Plus, it's interesting.
Exactly. Yeah. I think so.
Brad in Madison. Hi, Brad.
Hello. I've been fascinated by what I've been hearing on the show, and it really, it's great that you're laying out these challenges. It's a very multifaceted set of challenges that girls have today. One that I've noticed is an activity of daily living that we older people take for granted, which is just being able to talk on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
My experience is that younger girls and young women are very adverse to actually having voice conversations, are much more likely to want to conduct all of their interactions by text,
mm-hmm.
To the point where I've known some who were practically debilitated when it came to the idea of, like, calling to make an appointment.
Hmm. Really?
Wow.
Ah.
Huh. How old do you, can you tell me that?
Anywhere from the teen years up through the 20s.
Okay, interesting. Wow. Wow.
Huh.
So what did you do in that situation?
All I could do was offer what insight I could, and that is that, you know, having conversations by voice, in some cases, there really isn't an alternative available.
Mm-hmm.
And when it comes to the social side of things, I've known young women who would conduct their social life, including getting to know new people, entirely online without hearing the nuances of voice and the inflection and the tone of the conversation. One clear example to me is somebody who came back from a first date saying, "Oh my God, he's so boring. He kept interrupting me all the time." And this is somebody that she had been getting to know online for months.
Uh-huh.
If she had just talked to him on the phone once or twice, this would have been glaringly apparent very early.
Interesting. Huh. Wow. And do you think that boys are having just as many problems as young girls have in being vocal? Because
I haven't heard it as much.
What's been your experience, Ellen?
Well, Brad, I think those are such interesting observations.
They are.
Well, my reaction to this is, what about the human experience? I mean, the human experience is when you have, like, a face-to-face, or even if it's just conversation over the phone, or it's voice-to-voice. To me, that's what adds to the depth of the growing relationship. And again, in my mind, this is technology is a disservice, is an absolute disservice when it's just restricted to texting. Texting is a convenience, but that's it. It's not a way to get to know somebody, as far as I'm concerned. I can remember being at dinner with some friends, and a daughter, who was an adult daughter, actually had her cell phone out, which of course I was a little irritated with, and she texted her mother that she liked the way her hair looked. I just thought that was crazy. Why not just tell her that?
I know. Really.
It's more powerful and more meaningful as far as I'm concerned.
Absolutely. Thank you very much, Brad, for the call. It brings up the whole area, too. I'm a really big believer for boys and for girls. Wisconsin has this wonderful forensics program to have your voice heard. Mm-hmm. And you can do it. You can be passionate about an issue, or you're doing persuasive speaking, or you're doing drama or whatever. Mm-hmm. But the idea of having a voice being heard is really important, don't you think?
Absolutely. Absolutely. With that, like the growth of comedy sports or improv, Jacob, who is one of my son's friends that I mentioned in the book, he works at comedy sports. The guy is incredible. He's just incredible. In fact, just recently on NPR, I heard a story of how now a woman who was suffering from post-traumatic stress took a comedy sports class that her husband signed her up in, and it greatly helped her with her post-traumatic stress. Wow, that's incredible. But learning to be, you know, spontaneous, learning to trust on your own intuition, or, you know, being able to ad-lib something, again, it all speaks to who you are. It helps you raise your confidence. Texting just won't do that for you.
Yeah, you're right. Thank you, Brad, so much for your call.
Yeah, thanks, Brad.
Nick in Whitewater. Hi, Nick.
Hi, I have a 23-year-old daughter who's a graduate of UW-Madison and taking her MCATs this summer.
Wow.
And I have a 19-year-old daughter, as we speak, is cramming through chemistry to make the nursing program in Oshkosh, which I guess is very competitive. Everybody wants to be a nurse. But anyway, two great daughters, very, you know, strong individuals, great sense of humor. They've always been right with me, along with my son, you know, not just playing sports with my son. We're out back. We're all playing baseball. We're all playing football in the living room. We're all watching the Packers. We're all going fishing. And, you know, a lot of conversation at the breakfast table. I would always get them up, and some of the political things going on in the early 2000s, they were right in there as little kids. And, you know, you can't substitute the actual one-on-one or one-on-three time. And I think dads are starting to get more involved, and I've been very involved. And I just don't think you can – there's no substitution. It's great to have a close thing with your mom, too, but you throw the dad in there from day one, helping, you know, switching off, doing bottles, feeding in the middle of the night. You can't beat that bond, you know.
Good for you, Nick. Good for you. I'm with you all the way on that. Good for you.
Thank you.
You should be so proud of yourself. You should be so proud of yourself.
I'm pretty happy. I have a great son, too, but that's a different show.
We'll get to that one.
Okay,
we have sons as well, so believe me, we'll get to sons on another show. Thank you so much for the call.
Yeah, thanks, Brad.
Our number is 800-486-8655. Ellen Ferenz is our guest, and her book is Be Your Own BFF, Your Personal Guide to Becoming a Strong, Independent Young Woman. We'll take more of your calls. We've heard from all men, too. We need to hear from some women about this, right? Raising your daughters, or how you found your voice, and we'd love to hear from you. We have some lines open at this very moment, 800-486-8655. Email is talk@wpr.org, and our Facebook page is the Kathleen Dunn Show. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Our number, if you'd like to speak with Ellen, is 800-486-8655. Here's a Facebook message, Ellen. I'm listening, and tears came to my face. I dropped out of high school and never looked back. 24 years later, I went back as a woman in her 40s to get my HSED through Racine Gateway, where Ellen taught. I have a 10-year-old daughter, and I will stop at nothing to guide her and make sure she works hard for her education and never gives up like I did. I'll definitely be picking up Ellen's book and sharing it with my daughter.
Right on. Good for you. Very good. Very good.
Yeah. Matthew is next in Westby. Hi, Matthew.
Hi, how's it going?
All right, Matthew. How are you?
I'm doing all right. I was just wondering, I've got myself three sons and a seven-year-old daughter, and I've noticed that my sons are actually more into the electronic stuff like texting and cell phones and all that than my daughter is, even though for all of them I have strongly discouraged the use of phones and technology and relying on it over face-to-face conversation. I'm just wondering if, like, at some point in the future, if that's going to hinder them in some way, because I personally disapprove of it and try to discourage them from using it, and whether that will affect them in the future.
I don't think so. I don't think so at all. I really don't. They'll eventually, as they get older, they'll, you know, figure it out for themselves. I'll be honest with you. I have a son who is 23, and he is not tied to his cell phone one bit.
Really?
He has a cell phone, and he has a laptop. And, I mean, of course, he uses them, but he is unlike all the other kids I know, or young people I know. He's not tied to it constantly.
Mm-hmm.
And, it's wonderful. It's just, I don't have to tell him to put it away while we're having dinner. I mean, it's, and so I think that, Matthew, you're doing the right thing. I really do. Because you're trying to help them develop good habits and, you know, good communication skills and learning to pay attention to the task at hand or the individual at hand is so important, free of any distraction. Think about that. I can't tell you how many in-services I've been at, and a speaker starts to, you know, to speak, and people open up their cell phones, and they start looking at checking
rude.
Their email.
It's just rude. I know.
It just blows my mind. I can't believe
right.
it. And the speaker goes on, and I think it's incredibly rude. I think society's become very rude in many ways, and I think you're trying to prevent that from happening, and good for you. Keep it up.
All right. I just wondered if it was going to affect in the future, especially since my own personal example I can't say is very good because I'm on call constantly, so I always have to answer my cell phone. I always have to have it available. And it's just,
sure.
I want to lead by example, but I just find it difficult, and I'm trying to...
Right. But
do the thing as I do kind of thing, and it's...
But that's because of your job,
right.
I would assume. So that's okay, then. That's okay. I mean, you have a reason for being on call, and you have to take care of that. You're being a responsible worker.
Right. Responsibility is another thing you write about in the book. It's such an important thing, isn't it, for people to think of you as somebody who's dependable, who's reliable, who's competent. Responsibility.
Exactly. Absolutely. From day one.
Yeah. Thanks very much. Jeannie is next in Madison. Hi, Jeannie.
Hi. Actually, Janine.
Oh, Janine. Hi, Janine.
I love today's program, and I myself have a 17-year-old daughter who is going into the science field, which we need more women in, and breaking those gender barriers. And I would have to say I get compliments all the time for her from people saying what, like, a great young woman she is.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to put up, her dad and I think we did a good job with her. But we also put her in martial arts from a very young age.
Mm-hmm.
And that taught her discipline, and it taught her how to deal with younger children, older children, adults, her instructors, and she's getting her fourth degree black belt
and is an
instructor at her school.
Hmm.
So she has all these different gender stereotypes that she's breaking through that I love to see her doing, and she thinks nothing of it. So it's great to see this younger age of kids not even having a qualm about doing this.
Wow, that's really neat, Janine. That is really cool, breaking those gender stereotypes. Good for you.
Yeah,
good for you. Very good.
Thanks, Janine, for your call. Our number is 800-486-8655. From your years of experience with young girls particularly, I know you mentioned this, and I want to ask about the American dream and what the American dream is for young people now, and if it's possible to find a really good job and have a child and have your children and do everything. And is that the American dream that young girls want now or not?
Well, it's more achieving the American dream is more complicated today because wages have been flat. I know some people that just graduated from college, and they have finance degrees, they have biology business degrees, and they're starting at about $35,000 a year. So with that being said, all the more reason that young girls, especially boys too, need to do well in school because it is more difficult than, for instance, like when I was in high school. College, you know, governments, state and federal, are not paying as much. Their portion has been reduced that they pay to college, you know, to colleges. So there's, you know, now we have a crisis with young people and college loans. But again, if some thought is put into this and some solid plans are made, I think it can be done. Also, sometimes the most important thing you can do is don't make your life any more difficult than it already is. Just don't complicate matters. Sometimes just keeping it the way it is for the time being is the best thing you can do, and do what you have to do, whether that's, you know, going to school every day, trying some new activities, you know, keeping up with your friendships, but just do the best you can in school because that is just imperative. I talk in my book about a young man who I taught who was really a nice guy. He was a real nice guy. And he had a tough life, though. His mother, I believe, was a drug addict, and she was in prison. His father was never in the picture. His grandparents raised him. And fortunately, he had a big brother through the local program in Racine, and the big brother was a welder who works for Johnson Wax, who pays very good wages. And he told him, he said, you know, if you become a welder, and this young man happened to be very good at working with his hands, and he told him, if you, you know, stick with it, become a welder, he goes, I can get you a job with my employer. And he did. He did. Now, oh my gosh, now if he stays at it, and let's just say we fast forward 5 years from now, he still has his job, he decides to, you know, get married, have a child. I mean, his child's chances for a good life will be so different than the chances that he had as a baby. And that's the definition of the American dream, where the next generation does better than the preceding one. Mm-hmm. And again, I understand things are difficult nowadays, that it's competitive, but still, there's so many resources out there. Most schools have almost whatever students need to get the help to be successful.
Yeah.
And again, we have to speak up. You have to gain a good idea of your strengths and your limitations and work on your limitations. I can't tell you how many students I've had who were going for a GED and they regret it. They totally regret not doing well in school when they had the chance. I've never met a student that said, gee, it's good where I am right now.
Exactly.
No one's ever said that. At the same time, I've met a number of students who just sail through their classes. I mean, like they don't have a worry in the world, never take a book home. And it was way too easy, way too easy. Then they get into the next stage, whether it's a community college, four-year college. They're having great difficulty.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it doesn't have to be, it shouldn't be like that. Because again, when you're in high school and even in middle school, you need to work hard. You need to develop those habits and all those basic skills that you learn through all those different classes so that you can just continue on the path to becoming that an educated person. And eventually, you know, it will pay off.
Mm-hmm. And it is true. I think these times, Ellen, you've mentioned it a couple times, I think these are really hard times for young people to be entering
Absolutely.
The job market.
Absolutely.
That they are going to have to learn to live with less and maybe take two jobs.
Mm-hmm.
It's not what we hope for
right.
our children.
Right.
But it's the economic reality
it
right
is.
Now, which
it
we
is.
Hope changes.
Right, right. Let's hope so. Let's hope so. At the same time, all the more reason that you have to do the right thing, and that you have to apply yourself and work hard. Because if you don't, it could be really devastating, and it could be very, very difficult. And chances are, again, which I write about in my book, probably students know people like this. They know people that did not do well in school, that are struggling, that are still living with friends or sleeping in their parents' basement or whatever, and they have not carved out a life for themselves.
Yeah.
And that's just really sad. And it doesn't have to be like that for you. It just doesn't.
Yeah. So the book is available. We're almost out of time. You can get it.
You can go to ellenfarens.com, and there's a link to my publisher, which is the Henschel House.
And spell your last name.
F-E-R-E-N-T-Z.
Okay.
ellenfarens.com. And there's a link to my publisher, which you can get the book there, or it's also on Amazon.
Oh, great. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you very much. I think you should still be teaching, quite frankly. You need to go back to the classroom.
Thank you, Kathleen.
You were a terrific teacher.
It was
thank
just
you.
An honor to be here. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you for being with us. The book is Be Your Own BFF, Your Personal Guide to Becoming a Strong, Independent Young Woman. We thank Ellen very much. It was just a heartfelt and important hour. Thanks to Scotty Myers for producing this hour, and thanks to Scotty as well for on-air production here in our studios in downtown Milwaukee. Tomorrow on our program, the first hour of the show, we will be speaking with Lois Beckett of ProPublica, who recently looked at how the Black Lives Matter movement is continuously ignored in the gun control debate. He will be joining us tomorrow. And then the second hour of the show, it's really a delightful book. Tracy Stewart will be joining us, Do Unto Animals, A Friendly Guide to How Animals Live and How We Can Make Their Lives Better. So that'll be fun as well. Thanks for all of your calls, everybody. A lot of men calling about their daughters, which was really heartening. I thought that was nice. Thanks for listening, for your contributions. We have news coming up in just one moment from National Public Radio, and then stay tuned for great conversations ahead. All of that is here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.